for today.
Delaney here, America Tonight, the name of this show. If you just tuned in, welcome. Coming off of the weekend, heading into another week, almost near that lame duck session in Congress, where Don't Ask, Don't Tell will be among the priorities. Also, what happens to the Bush tax credits as they're set to expire at the end of December. So as a new crop of politicians will be ushered into the halls of the Capitol, there are still some who have business left to do. And then there are incumbents who will stay in their same positions, although we know that it's been a Republican avalanche, certainly, as of Tuesday. Still 11 seats, though, to be determined. Do you believe that? 11. What is the deal? I keep saying this. We don't live in a banana republic. How is it we can't have a uniform voting system? One thing I would say coming off of last week, I'd still love to see an election day either be on the weekend, like Saturday, or be a holiday. I think it's that important because somewhere lost in all of this, people feel removed from the process. And it's we the people you elect are representing you. They're not the ones. It's all of us, the average Joes and James, listening across America and all those nooks and crannies. This is our government. We live in a democracy, so we got to take our democracy back. And how you take a democracy back is you be involved in what's happening. Be part of the process so better people that you think represent you get elected, for goodness sake. It's embarrassing that we have the low voter turnout that we have. I just don't understand it. So I say we take away the excuses. Make it a weekend, and yes, I know people work on the weekend, but or make it a holiday. So there's more of a chance that people will go out and vote because it's a day off, and force the companies to make it a paid day off, a paid holiday. Make it that important, and maybe things will change. Maybe we'll see a difference of opinion on why you need to go out instead of saying, well, I knew it was going to matter anyway. I knew it was going to matter how I voted, so I didn't go because everybody told me that my guy wasn't going to win, so I didn't even try. I mean, that's what some people thrive on, pump the message out there so that their guy does win. Make everybody think that, and then nobody will want to go and vote. Remember, that was always the problem in the presidential elections, the forecast for what was happening on the East Coast and the Midwest while they weren't even done voting in California. But there was no excuse for that in these midterms. At least it seemed to me like the numbers were a little bit up, a little bit up. And you could tell that certainly more people in some areas went out to vote. But like I said, there's still 11 races that are too close to call. And here's a big one. The big one is what happened in Alaska with Lisa Murkowski and the whole write-in vote thing. And then the Tea Party favorite, Joe Miller, is he going to get it or is she going to get it? And what I heard is that pretty much it's almost called for him, but not so fast, because the write-in ballots accounted for 41% of the votes counted so far. The Republican Senator Murkowski had the most, obviously, write-in stuff. The Republican Joe Miller actually trailed vote-wise with 34.3% of the vote. Absentee and question ballots are being counted still, and the counting of the write-ins officially begins November 10th. So that's not a definite either. Another thing that's crazy, too, is the governor deal. In Minnesota, the former Democratic Senator Mark Dayton leads the Republican by Tom Emmer by less than 10,000 votes. That's kind of within that margin. That would mean an automatic, it is within it, that would mean a recount under state election law. And then you have various other districts in Kentucky. They've got a Democratic rep, Ben Chandler, who had a little bit of a lead over the Republican, but they're talking about re-canvassing the vote there, and there are a couple of others that would trigger the recount in Virginia. They've got the same problem in Arizona. They've got a Democratic Congresswoman, Gabrielle Giffords, that leads the Republican by just 3,000 votes, and they still have absentee ballots to be counted as well. So there's still some things, do you believe it, up in the air. I think the saddest thing that happened, as we recap the election just quickly again, is the ballots that weren't counted military ballot-wise, how it was difficult for the guys in uniform from Illinois to vote because it was like, okay, well, you still can vote. You can do it online. Yeah. I'm in the middle of a war in Afghanistan on a base, and usually we go out every morning, and we crawl across our bellies trying to get across the ravine and avoid the sniper fire. And when we get in, we'll get in that line, and we'll hope that we can get on the Internet and vote. That has to change, sadly. Has to change big time. All right, it was just about a month and a half ago when I was down in Tampa for, remember, the United Egg Producers Conference to learn more about the process of how eggs are produced and in this country and what, you know, what the, actually what the process is going from the cage-free to the cage chickens. I talked about it a lot on the show. If you go to the website, americatonight.net, I actually have a great picture montage, and you'll find it there. You can easily click on it, the notes from a blog, notes from a scorecard, and it shows you what it, you know, what it was like. It was a very clean farm, and the eggs went to the local supermarkets all over Florida. And now there's been at least 10 lawsuits that have been filed in connection to that salmonella outbreak that was traced to the two Iowa egg farms. Attorneys say they know of hundreds of more potential cases, but it'd be difficult for most people who got sick to win a lawsuit because when you've got foodborne illness, it's hard to show eggs made someone sick without a positive culture, even though they want to file these suits. Because remember, the CDC linked about 1,600 people who got sick to the eggs, and they've gotten one of the lawyers, a Seattle lawyer who's handled a lot of cases with foodborne illness and has filed 6 lawsuits in Iowa, says that's the tough part about it, but they've gotten, you know, 150 calls about other cases that are related to the summer outbreak, but they don't know whether they're going to be able to file them or not. So that's just another aftermath in that. Boy, the egg industry was certainly rocked by it. I know I said on this show many times, I am a huge egg lover. I like eggs for breakfast. I like my omelets. I like my soft-boiled eggs. I like my eggs over easy. And even I was a little bit scared off by that because there were some places in Texas that popped up on the radar. You can be sure that those inspections will be beefed up as a result of what happened on those two farms. We already know that's happening now. Stay with us. Coming up on the flip side, who fared well at the box office? We're going to tell you about that next.
I'm concerned about food for my family in the event of an emergency, and I know you are too. Are you ready? Don't wait for an emergency to happen. Put a plan together now with quality dehydrated food from Ready Reserve Foods. For nearly 40 years, Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, canning the finest in dehydrated foods. Other companies just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, controlling quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packing for maximum shelf life. Ready Reserve offers a balanced selection of fruits, vegetables, dairy products, proteins, and grains. Choose from a variety of pre-selected units or order by individual can to customize your own plan. When you purchase from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Call today for a free catalog, 1-800-453-2202, or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Call 1-800-453-2202. Ready Reserve Foods. Factory direct, wholesale pricing.
Gold, it's like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2234 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
If the cost of your prescriptions are getting out of control, you want to listen carefully to this. RxDrugCard.com is a simple, innovative program designed to give individuals the same purchasing power as large HMOs and insurance companies. As a member of RxDrugCard.com, you'll enjoy savings of up to 80% on all prescription medications at over 52,000 USA pharmacies, including Walmart, Walgreens, and Eckerd's. Don't risk ruining your health by using cheap, counterfeit foreign drugs. This program provides savings on safe, genuine, FDA-approved medications with low membership fees, unlimited use, no age or income requirements, and coverage for all pre-existing conditions. RxDrugCard.com is an absolute must for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. Enroll today for as little as $4.50 per month at www.RxDrugCard.com and start saving immediately. RxDrugCard.com is backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit RxDrugCard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
Come away with me in the night. Come away with me. I will write you a song. Come away with me on a bus.
All right, we're going to shake things up with a little odds and ends here on ATN.
Come away.
One of them is as crazy as, I'll tell you, an actor who gets a lot of work, including now voice work, Will Ferrell, was part of this Megamind's deal, and Megamind's cleaned up at the box office $48 million, almost $48 million over the weekend. Here's a little snippet of Megamind's.
This is a day you and Metrocity shall not soon forget.
It's pronounced
Metro City.
Oh, potato, tomato, potato, tomato.
Actually, that sounds like that could be kind of a cute little flick to go and see. And certainly people flocked to it anyway. It beat out some of the other comedies that were out and a couple of other movies that were out with some big names in it. Number one, the box office, that's what counts. That's what the studios look at to see who's bankable. It wasn't about the studios for the Pope, certainly. The Pope was once again on a mission, and, you know, lately, if you've been keeping score, I'll tell you, the Pope is, I don't know, touring's not the right word, but certainly out and about, to say the least. And unfortunately for the Pope, not always being received so well, because of, look at the headlines of what's happened with the priests and what's going on in the Catholic Church outside of the Vatican region. it's interesting whether it's Spain or somewhere else. This was the reception that he got. Yeah, that's not exactly a warm welcome, is it? And like I said, I think there's a press to kind of, I don't know if that it's not so much a peace mission, but I think it's a mission to get out there and be among the masses, whether it's in Europe or wherever, and try to quell some of the nasty opinions out there. But they're going to have a tough time because you think of the decades of abuse that went under the wire that ultimately, I do think it comes back to that and the rage that people feel for what happened with the church and how they shuttled so many of the priests to other parishes, whether it was in Europe or someplace else. They just turned a blind eye. And I think that's a lot of the blowback for the Pope when he's out. It's other things too, but ultimately I believe it comes down to that. This is one of those weird odds and ends, not weird, really sad actually. Somebody asked me over the weekend, you know, you used to go to Mexico a lot. Would you go to Mexico? And I've said on the show, you know, I wouldn't go to Mexico right now. I keep quoting him, but the mayor of Acapulco insists that people shouldn't go out after dark. What does that tell you? And then you had this crazy story, David Hartley, remember that? The guy, it's been seven or more weeks since that happened, but he was the guy that was on a lake jet ski, and he was supposedly killed in the U.S.-Mexico border lake area because he was mistaken for, they say, a drug cartel member. But how frightening is that? In fact, over the weekend, I think they had a little ceremony for him because they'd never found his body. And I think that the story of David Hartley, although, you know, Falcon Lake is one of the bodies of water that is right in between both places, is a reminder to be very careful if you go into Mexico. I mean, this is an area, that lake, where it's a it's what's dubbed as kind of a, or what's really what it's called, is a half submerged Mexican ghost town. And so ultimately this couple was ambushed by some guys with guns and they started to shoot, and he was shot in the head, and she could not pull his body onto her jet ski and get out of there, probably his dead body. And they haven't found his body, even though they've been looking all over the place. I mean, who knows where he is now? But I mean, obviously he took a bullet, most likely for his wife who was with him. And this is, you know, this is an area in McAllen, Texas, and where lots of people live dancing along on the border. And now they're saying this about Acapulco and some of the other areas. I would say, it's probably, you probably want to take it under advisement. In fact, if you go to the State Department's website, they have a warning about it for what that's worth. But just my two cents as someone who's traveled there, and because I've been asked a couple of times, I think I would kind of back off of it right now. George W. Bush is making the rounds. Probably if you flip on the tube a little bit, whether you're watching some cable news or maybe you're looking at morning news, a lot of people watch morning news or whatever, you'll see the clips of him because, like I said, he's appearing on a lot of different shows. He has a new book out called Decision Points. Like every president, he's written a book. So he's going to do an interview with Oprah Winfrey that's going to be on the air on Tuesday. And he's said he's through with politics. He's not offering any opinions on the 2012 presidential election. He said, I love this part. I got to hand it to him here. He said, I'm not a political pundit. I'm really not. A lot's going to happen between now and the nominating process. He was asked to comment on President Bush, and he said, I'm going to treat him the way I'd want to have been treated, and I'm not going to criticize him because there's everybody out there is you know, talking about him, opining on everything that he's done, and he's got a tough job, so I'm not gonna do it. But I haven't read his book. I'm curious, though. It's almost 500 pages long, and he talks about the financial crisis, I guess. He talks about all kinds of things relating to the Senate, the John McCain and Harry Reid and, you know, immigration. He takes responsibility for giving the go-ahead for waterboarding of terror suspects. And, of course, now there's more criticism because that's in the book and more people calling to prosecute him. But interesting, I think interesting things are coming up from the Bush book, but this is like nothing new. It's things that you pretty much already knew, maybe just some revelations about how he felt about, you know, 9/11 a little bit deeper and a couple of other things that he dealt with during his eight-year term. But interesting that he doesn't want to go into the business of criticizing, opposite of Clinton or Jimmy Carter, where they're out there and their endorsement is heavily sought for whatever Democrat is running, and also sought on the political process. I think he's just going to continue to try to stay out of that spotlight. You saw him pop up for the Texas Rangers games when they were playing in the World Series, but other than that, I don't think so. Speaking of popping up, Keith Olbermann made big headlines, and I say this all the time, you know, that's the name of the game. It's like Glenn Beck. It's coverage, coverage, and publicity, and that's what the networks love, and that's certainly what the people who are in front of the mics love. So it's not lost on Keith Olbermann that it made a lot of noise. He made a lot of noise when he was suspended for violating the ethics policy of MSNBC or NBC. And they're going to bring him back on the air on Tuesday night. He was suspended on Friday because there was a news report that revealed that he had donated to three Democrats who were looking for an office, who were running for an office, including Jack Conway, who was opposing Rand Paul in that Senate race in Kentucky. And obviously that's part of the whole journalistic creed. He gave like $2,400, the maximum he can give to all of the campaigns. One was for two. There was two Arizona campaigns that he gave to and that Kentucky campaign. And so, of course, once that was reported, they decided to suspend him, but he's back on Tuesday. Like I said, controversy makes people thrive. And in this case, for Keith Olbermann, I think that's the idea with MSNBC. His program will be fine. If anything, he'll probably get some ratings out of it in coming back and doing an editorial maybe on the whole money thing. Keep it here, locked and loaded on ATN.
Special announcement for our Renaissance Charge customers. Have you ever wondered what it would take to make your car run on 100% electric power? What about making a motor into a generator? How about a simple device that is both a super efficient motor and generator at the same time? What if this could also be used to restore useless batteries and save you money? Because you, our customers, asked for it, we have organized a Renaissance Conference Workshop on November 13th and 14th at the beautiful Coeur d'Alene Resort in Idaho. Not only will you see these fascinating energizers, but for the first time, you will be able to build some alongside genius inventor John Bedini. Register now while there's still room left to participate in this truly historic event featuring our cutting-edge alternative energy Tesla technology. Visit r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com for details. Or call 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Before you purchase any water filters, you should know there's a superior American-made water filtration system available. This water filter's housing is made of high-quality stainless steel, and its filters outperform all others in the industry and are the only ones that exceed EPA standards. It's a gravity-fed water filtration system requiring no electricity or plumbing. It removes chlorine, chemicals, and dangerous biological pathogens, producing quality drinking water for less than 2 cents per gallon. Plus, its filters can be cleaned up to 200 times. What is it? It's the AquaRain. Owning an AquaRain means you own the best money can buy. Learn more and see other quality emergency preparedness products at myaquarain.com. Use the GCN code and you'll receive the book, Do-It-Yourself Emergency Preparedness, absolutely free. To order, visit myaquarain.com or call 800-585-5077. That's myaquarain.com or 800-585-5077.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Hurricanes, ice storms, blackouts, and the prospect of civil unrest. When the unexpected happens, will you be ready? Hundreds of concerned citizens across America have already installed wind generators to help protect their families in the event of a disaster. So act now and build your own wind generator with an easy-to-assemble kit from WindBluePower.com. WindBluePower carries the best battery-charging wind generators and permanent magnet alternators in the country. Our 12-volt wind generator kits are also great for small cabins and campers, and all WindBluePower kits qualify for a 30% tax credit. So get your discount now. Go to WindBluePower.com today and enter coupon code radio for 5% off, or simply call 800-976-0026. 800-976-0026. Protect your family's emergency energy needs now at WindBluePower.com.
We're going to do another segment of We Can Count. But before we get to that, because really we've just scratched the surface, let's talk about some of the odds and ends. I mentioned this at the top, and of course we were just talking about health care. We know this is where the Republicans are going to try to take their big shot at another health care overhaul and pick through some of the things that were thrown into the initial law where that actually most of it hasn't taken place yet, except for the kids and the pre-existing conditions, and certainly that's going to stay. Nothing is going to change there. But the one thing that's going to happen, and what I believe anyway, most of the Republicans, the newly elected and the guys that are currently, and women, I guess, that are currently there, say the huge, huge issue besides jobs is that people are not comfortable with the new law. People want it repealed and replaced with something else. Not saying forget about it, but something else. And what Mitch McConnell, longtime Republican from Kentucky, says is, look, I think we owe it to them to at least try. But here's the thing. Republicans don't have enough seats to just push through a repeal if the Democrats stand and stay there in support of health care reform and the new law. So Republicans would have to get involved in this push-pull thing with the Democrats, which, of course, is nothing new, but they would have to have some Democrats support it because it certainly would face a veto from the president. I can't imagine that the president is going to look at any kind of a full repeal. Certainly not. That's a no. There's no way he would look at a full repeal and sign it. There's no way. Whatever the reforms are, that's not going to happen. But would there be a few cherry-picked things that could come out that would work? I mean, there's your big question. Because the president has to sign the bills. It's going to be a real test because I really believe that what the Republicans are going to do is they're going to kick the doors in on health care. The second that the newbies, the Senate-elect guys, get into place, then you're going to see that's what's going to happen. It's going to be torpedoes ahead. That's what's going to happen right in the very beginning. In the meantime, what's interesting, while the Republicans are talking about overhaul and having oversight hearings and cutting off money to implement the law so that maybe that would be a way to challenge it because they don't think they're going to get the full reform and they're not going to have the common sense forms that they were hoping would happen, like during that whole debate to reduce spending. So what also is going on is the inner wars between the Democrats. This very strange thing happened to Nancy Pelosi when she was clobbered in the midterm elections, not for her office, but the fact that she's losing, of course, her grasp on the Speaker of the House, because that's going to be John Boehner. Theoretically, he's definitely the guy that's stepping into that role. So Pelosi's out in that role because the majority goes to the Republicans. But the Democrats are saying that some of the Democrats, the more moderate Democrats, are saying they're not going to support Nancy Pelosi, who wants to be the minority leader. And you even have some Republicans taking shots saying that to keep Nancy Pelosi as the party chief in the House is ridiculous because it means they don't get what's going on. The one who screamed the loudest was Republican Eric Cantor from Virginia. He's number two. He's in line to be the number two House Republican. He says, you know, look, they're not willing to work with the president on, this is what Cantor's saying, they're not willing to work with the president on an expansive liberal agenda that the White House has pushed for 2 years. And that includes, of course, Nancy Pelosi, and saying that obviously the Dems don't get the message if they don't dump her from that. If she's the minority leader on the Hill in the House, then how ridiculous would that be? And see, there it's all about friends. It's all about what the Democrats decide to do. If Pelosi is going to stay, because it looks like she's staying, period, anyway. So she's there for a couple more years. Do they press and push her out of that role, or do they support her in that role? You think of who might be pulling the agenda behind the scenes because of what she pushed for and got with health care reform. That's going to be an interesting thing to watch. That's the behind-the-scenes pulling at, I think, the play behind the scenes. It's going to be interesting to see whether or not she actually stays, digs her heels in and stays and gets that position, or she does not get it, or nobody crosses over, or not enough people cross over to help her out and make sure that, in fact, she is in that role when it's all the dust settles. All right, another part of odds and ends, since we're kind of going down the political path here on this one. Janet Napolitano has spoken again. And this time, the U.S. Homeland Security Secretary saying that, you know what, regular people around the world need to realize that they are the eyes and the ears. They can play a big role in thwarting terrorist attacks because they might notice something in a neighborhood. They might see something on a street. You might pass a quiet message about, hey, these people have gone over to Somalia. We don't know what they're doing, but they're back. You might need to know about that. And even though there hasn't been any major terrorist incidents, you could say, on our own soil since the September 11th attacks back in 2001. Of course, we know that there have been almost a dozen plots against New York City alone that have been stopped. And the big one that people were talking about was Faisal Shahzad and what happened in Times Square, and he almost blew part of it apart, and he ended up being sentenced to life, and yada yada. And Napolitano is saying that it was a street vendor who noticed smoke coming from the car and was the one who actually got to the police and cleared the area. And if they didn't have that tip, they who knows, maybe they would have had an explosion. So she's saying, if you see something, say something. That's the campaign. Great. So there's a new campaign. If you see something, say something. I thought we were already doing that. Wasn't that what I hear every single time in an airport somewhere? Isn't that being pumped out that if you see a suspicious package, an unattended package, if you see somebody suspicious, I heard that on the subway, in the subway going to New Jersey from New York. Actually, it would be the path, I think they call it. And there were comments over the speaker about that. So I thought that's what we were already doing anyway. And can you imagine these local police departments, some of the calls that they have to field? Because you just know there's going to be crazy calls about things that people think they see, but they don't really see. And you have to believe that if somebody, I still think this, if somebody really wants to do damage, they've got some roadmaps, and there's ways to poke holes in the system. Certainly we saw that when it comes to overseas cargo. That could have been an incredible disaster. I mean, amazing, actually, that that was stopped, if you believe that there were 17 minutes until it was going to explode or not. Let's just say it was pretty darn close, and I do believe that. So where are the holes in the system? That's the thing. Don't worry about citizen patrols. Worry more about, sure, of course, don't you think people are already calling those in? Talk to some of the police departments and they'll tell you about some of the nutty things they also try to field and how that can take them away from something that might actually happen. That's the other thing. But at this, in the same breath, it has to be about being more aware of what the gaps are in the security system. Like, why weren't we aware of what was happening with cargo? Because, of course, you know there's no 100% when it comes to shipping things. It's just like when we had on Jeff Atticott, I think it was a week ago, talking about, he's, of course, a terrorism expert, talking about the fact that isn't it great that you can go online and you can track all your packages? So think if you're somebody who wants to blow something up, how easy would that be if you get the package through? You're watching to see when your package is going to be delivered. I mean, you almost have it on. In fact, I think you have it almost down to the minute. If you go on UPS, I've gotten those tracking notices, and then boom, doorbell rings, there you go. And he said how there's something that's part of modern technology that's an advancement, but that could also be an advancement for somebody who wants to do something terroristic with packages. Those are things that they're not thinking about when it comes to security. Those are the things that I think have to be brainstormed out. Okay, how would you possibly slip things in? Don't worry so much about citizens patrolling and looking around to see what they think is suspicious, because here's the deal. The Saudis were the ones who warned the U.S. of the package bomb plot weeks before it almost happened. So somebody there sent the tip in the first place, and it was somebody in intelligence sent that over from Yemen, that they managed to smuggle in bombs onto airplanes and what could have been a series of catastrophic explosions on these jets. And we know that a Yemen-based Al-Qaeda group in the Arabian Peninsula claimed responsibility this weekend for sending the bombs addressed to the synagogues in the U.S. and intercepted in Dubai and Britain. They said, you know, they were the guys that were sending it. And it certainly, they also said they were responsible for the crash of a UPS cargo plane in Dubai in September and threatened more attacks on passenger and cargo aircraft. That's where you got to watch.
Question. What would you rather drink? Acidic water, which burns holes in your body and causes loss of bone mass? Or alkaline water, which promotes high energy and vibrant health? The answer is clear. And if you're drinking acidic water, you're helping cancer cells and bacteria to grow out of control. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using Plasma pH Drops is the best way to alkalize your water and help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy alkaline level. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, or cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-409-1776. Again, 269-409-1776.
To ship a vehicle safely from point A to point B, which company should you choose? Easy. Stateway Auto Transport. Why trust Patriot-owned Stateway Auto Transport? Many reasons. Stateway is not just a broker, but a fully licensed and bonded carrier with its own fleet of trucks and $1 million of cargo coverage insurance. With Stateway, your vehicle rides safely on a direct route on the same truck, and your shipment is always door-to-door with no hidden fees. And every shipment includes free online vehicle tracking. Simply put, Stateway Auto Transport is the best, most efficient, quickest, and friendliest worldwide shipper in the business. To receive a free quote from a live customer service representative, call 877-848-7474 or see us online at statewayauto.com. That's statewayauto.com or call 877-848-7474. Ask about discounts for seniors, military, and all GCN listeners. Stateway Auto Transport, your one-stop shop for worldwide vehicle transport.
Is it really possible to get out of debt without payment plans or attorneys?
18 years ago, we developed a program that has made thousands debt-free in just 90 days. It's called Zero Debt in 90 Days, and it works for all credit card debt, medical bills, even collection lawsuits.
When I first joined, I was being sued, so I used the program methods. And after filing one piece of paper, the collection lawsuit was dismissed.
With Zero Debt in 90 Days, your success is guaranteed in writing. There is no other program of its kind. Don't be alone when creditors gang up on you. Let our team of experts provide the resources to fight back and stop creditors in only 90 days, guaranteed. Prevent wage garnishments, bank levies, and stop collection calls with our proven program. Call Zero Debt in 90 Days now, 800-477-9256, and ask for free information from an expert who also completed our program. 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
Guest on this show before. We thought he was terrific and it'd be fun to check back in with him and see what kind of headway he was making on a very serious topic. You know, we just went through October, which was Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Everywhere you went, you saw pink ribbons. There was the three-day walk. And, of course, at most grocery stores, there were things going on. I mean, almost anywhere, even the NFL, the guys wore pink on the bottom of their shoes and had sometimes pink on parts of their uniform, the NFL embracing that. And it's amazing what Nancy Brinker has done with the Komen Foundation and how far that has gone and, of course, what's happened in breast cancer awareness. But now there's this other thing, because we care about our men, we care about all of you listening, that is called prostate cancer. And prostate cancer, believe it or not, more guys are actually diagnosed with prostate cancer each and every year than women. with breast cancer, but you wouldn't know it because while there are people talking about it, there are still so many people who don't get checked, and men are notorious for not going to the doctor. You guys have to go to the doctor and get this checked out because you can nip it if, God forbid, you're diagnosed with it. All right, so without further ado, from our virtual green room, we do usher in Norris Baron. Hey, Norris, thanks for popping back on ATM. We appreciate it.
Hi, Kate. How you doing this evening?
Last time we talked, you know, you've got a book out about prostate cancer. That's your mission, you know, sort of banging the rafters, if you will, and telling people more about it and how you need to take control of actually your own health care to know what's going on. Do you feel like you're making some headway?
Well, I think there's a lot of headway being made, frankly. Now that we have some clarity as to next steps with respect to the health care law, now that the elections are over, I think there's going to be a lot of changes and a lot of improvements and a lot more attention given on the cost of health care and the kind of health care we're going to be able to get. I think there's a lot of good positive momentum that's going to make a lot of these issues become significantly more able to be dealt with by most of us.
Yeah, I think, and when you talk about the cost of it, that's part of it for people, right? They don't want to go get tested because they don't want to pay whatever it is.
And you're right, and that's becoming a bigger issue. The preventive care testing, especially with the screening controversy that's been going on the last year or so, the question is whether or not we're going to have some of these tests paid for under the new health care law, and that remains to be seen as far as I know.
Yeah, it's still up in the air, but you're right. With the change and now how a lot of things are going to be reexamined, I think it'll, as far as the cost is concerned and certain tests and all that kind of stuff, I think a lot of that will be wrapped up into whatever moves forward as we move into next year and at the tail end of, obviously, this year lame duck session. So let's get to the heart of this. As I said, most men avoid doctors. What can the women listening do, or what can other people do to change this fact?
The first thing I would suggest that women do is nag. That's the first thing.
Women are good at that.
Yeah, well, it's something that I think is essential, because a lot of men, I was visiting with a group of CEOs the other day, and of all the men in the room, I can just tell that three or four of them were just not at all interested in knowing about prostate cancer, and yet three of them, the same group, had prostate cancer, and the depth of the understanding and the emotional involvement that you can see by those that had it is just unbelievable. We need to be giving more attention to prostate cancer because it's a silent killer, because it doesn't have always symptoms. It's just not something that's going to go away, and younger and younger and younger men are beginning to get diagnosed, so let's give it some concern and some thought. It's just one of those things that is just so important.
Yeah, talk about, you did this a little bit last time, but I had some questions after you were on. Talk about PSA testing, and you mentioned this, the controversy. What's the controversy over it?
The controversy is that there is not enough scientific evidence that shows that enough lives are saved by virtue of the screening. Let's put it this way. I want the PSA test because I want to know if I've got something going on. Okay. However, the doctor says, look, the fact that you get the PSA test, if it shows a significant number, it doesn't mean you've got cancer. On the other hand, if it shows a low number, it doesn't mean you don't have cancer. So there's always a next step. The next step is a biopsy, which is an invasive procedure. So the question is, for all of us generally, there's no right answer because there are studies upon studies that tell doctors different things. The key question then remains is, it's no longer necessarily a complete standard in terms of everybody's going to have it. It's more of, doctor, do I need it based upon my history, based upon my risk factors, and should I get it? And that's really what I think everybody's talking about in terms of saying, let's decide whether or not it's appropriate for you, as opposed to saying, everybody gets it.
Yeah, no kidding. That's a good thing. You know, we talked about women getting involved, nag, 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 but also other family members can get involved, too. If you have a close relationship with your father, for example, that could be an easy thing to do, I think. Say, hey, Pop, get a test, right?
Interesting. I met a gentleman I've known for a number of years who had prostate cancer, and when he found out I had the book, he immediately said to me, send me three of them. He wanted each of his two sons to have a copy, and he sent one to his cousin. The day after his cousin received the book, coincidentally, he had an annual physical, and he was diagnosed with prostate cancer at that time. So it was very coincidental and very timely.
Wow, no kidding. Hey, tell us about your book. What prompted you to write it and all that sort of stuff? We talked about it a little bit last time, but dive into it for us.
Well, like most people, when prostate cancer, when my PSA test became an issue and I went ahead and had a biopsy, I felt the way I guess a lot of people feel. I didn't know what prostate cancer was. I didn't know what some of the symptoms were. I really was very uninformed, and I had to go through this whole long process of spending hours and hours and hours doing research on the Internet and looking at books and talking to the doctors and seeing doctors, and it was just a very, very stressful time for me, to the point where I had to make a decision, and then I made one decision, and then I backed off, and then I made another decision. It's just, there's got to be a better way. And I decided after 3 years of being away from the prostate cancer, I said, you know, something simple. A 100-page book is what I wrote. It's designed toward telling people where they are in the process when that first PSA test comes back in such a way that it causes you a concern. What do you need to do? I try to ask questions and give people a list of questions that they need to ask doctors. I want them to know what they don't know. I want them to know where to get information. And I put it into such a very short, easy-to-read, non-technical book that it's worth somebody's time to be able to say, you know what, this is where I can get, as they call it, the Cliff Notes version of what I need to know so I can at least reduce the stress, know what I have to do, and know what the questions I have to ask. It just helps people make the process a lot easier.
Do you, if somebody has a test and it comes up, they go through your book, they read it, like you say, the thumbnail sketch, comes up positive, do you recommend that they get a second opinion?
You know, there's no question about it, because if your doctor, if you go see a urologist and he's a surgeon and he recommends surgery, there are at least six major categories. There's 20 different treatments, 20 different methods of treating prostate cancer currently that are well recognized in this country, in six major categories. You really need to know what those categories are. Side effects are very, very much a part of what you're going to do. Quality of life issues after treatment is very much a part of making a decision. You don't want to just go to one doctor and ask. You need to have a variety, because it's a very important procedure. And prostate cancer, for the small gland that it is, could cause people a huge amount of trouble after the treatment. So you really want to get the benefits of saying, what are all these possibilities, and I want to make a decision. And by the way, when people make a decision like I did, I must have made the decision four or five times before I finally decided what I was going to do.
Yeah, good for you. All right, so we'll tell everyone, pick up a copy of Prostate Cancer. Hope is not a strategy, certainly not. Tips from a survivor. You just heard Norris tell you his story. A great gift, I think, for some of the men out there listening, some of the women listening. Give it to your husband, your brother, your nephew, whatever, so that more people get tested. Norris Baron, as always, a pleasure to have you on the show. Keep pushing the crusade.
Kate, thanks very much for having me tonight.
Oh, you're welcome. And, yeah, that's the thing. You know, we just got through the pink ribbons, like I said, but isn't it crazy to think that more guys actually will get the diagnosis of prostate cancer a year than women with breast cancer? I had no idea about that till I read Norris's book. Hit us up, day or night, on Facebook, Twitter, or AmericaTonight.net.